This is Kevin Dowse, Cleveland's best-looking and most respected sports fan. First of all, I'm going to need an apology from every member of Miami Heat Beat for asking me to take time out of my day to do this. But anyways, congratulations on your 100th episode. And I know what you're all thinking. Trust me, everybody, I'm thinking the same exact thing. How in the heck did these guys get 100 episodes and you're forced to cover a team like the Miami Heat? Wow, are they bad. Jeez, oh man, guys. Anyways, congratulations. Go Cavs.
This is Heat Beat. With Giancarlo Navas and Ryan Goins.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today, we have co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins.
Hey, how are you, sir?
We have Heat Twitter president, Alf.
Yes, sir.
That's it. We got a small show today.
That's it?
It's just us, man. It's usually like 10, 11 people, two guests. Are you sure Anthony Chang's not going to pop out of nowhere?
Unless he loses.
Did you see that?
He's done with us.
He's done with us?
Yeah, he's done with us until the Heat lose. So that means he's done.
That's it.
Yeah.
So do you think that the Heat should wear the red uniforms or the black road uniforms for game one against the Warriors in the final?
Ooh.
I like the black ones. Black's my favorite road uniform.
That's such a stupid question.
You know, you got to go white hot there.
No, not even. They're going to play the Spurs, so.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
You think? Alf, that's a bold take.
What about game three? The red alternate?
No, that's white. No, that's white hot. No, game three is white hot.
I'm pretty sure the Spurs are going to tap out after the first two games, so. I don't even think it'll go three. I don't think it'll go three games. I'm calling the NBA Finals Heat Spurs, Heat and two.
You think Pop's going to do that? Because I don't see Pop as the guy who'll tap out. You know what I mean?
Well, I think he's gonna see a losing endeavor when he's in the middle of it. He's just going to say, these guys are too strong. Wayne Ellington is a beast. Josh Richardson will be back by then. Deion Waiters is a god. And
how are they going to contain the Wayne Ellington, James Johnson pick and roll? Like, I don't see... How even with Kawhi Leonard, I couldn't do that one with a straight face.
the Wayne Ellington, you went too far. You went too far. Oh, dude! Speaking of JJ's, I did not know James Jones was still in the NBA.
Oh yeah, yo, he's just
like he is still stealing money on the Cavs bench, and LeBron has the nerve. The nerve to call out Dan Gilbert when Dan Gilbert is still basically James Jones is on the NBA version of welfare.
Food stamps?
He is on his contract might as well be in food stamps.
But do they keep giving him 1 year deals?
Dude, I don't even know if there was a player option, team option. I don't care.
He's been there a while. It's been like 3 years.
The fact that they are still paying James Jones, LeBron should never complain again.
No because way they only, gave.
There's only one reason for James Jones to be on an NBA roster at this point, and it's to carry LeBron's luggage from the airport to the hotel. There's no other reason to have James Johnson on your payroll. James Jones. So
James Johnson's a baller.
Dan Gilbert is a saint for keeping that man employed. I'm sorry.
Like, think about it. Cause
I saw him on the bench, and I was like, what? I was like, James, and the best part about it, he looked mad about what was going on in the game. Like, shut up, James Jones. Like, you have no say in this. Like, LeBron's thirsty. Bring him a cup of Gatorade.
Is he the biggest sellout out of that era? He's the biggest sellout.
Mike Miller at least got cut or amnestied, whatever you want to call it. James Jones is the biggest sellout.
Does Dwayne become the biggest sellout if he goes to Cleveland next year?
At least he had a stop on the way.
What if the Bulls trade him to like Denver and then Dwayne doesn't take the player option and goes to Cleveland? Does that soften it?
I think at this point, Dwayne being at least one stop removed. Like, we'll be mad. We'll be mad and everything, but at least you feel like, I don't know. I guess it won't hurt as bad because there's been a stop. Dwayne showed a little bit of a decline. We've slandered him. We feel like we were right as far as like, as we feel like Pat was right in getting rid of Dwayne at that stage, because we kind of see like it wasn't going to work out with him and Goron anyway. So I feel Heat fans feel vindicated. So if Dwayne were to make another stop in Cleveland, it wouldn't hurt as bad at this point.
Did you see the quote that he gave last night?
Yeah, that was crazy, right?
So for the audience that doesn't know, they played the Bulls played the Sacramento Kings and they won. And Dwayne said, "We're not playing Miami Heat basketball. They've won 11 straight, but we're playing good basketball." Like, dog. Yeah, dog.
Yeah, that was like ex-girlfriend stalkerish, right?
Damn, girl, you fine? Her boy, damn, you fine?
Like, that was kind of weird. Like,
what's going on? You up?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't know you were paying attention to what we were doing over here. Like,
yeah. Get a text from Riley. Yo, you up? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
It was stalkerish. It was like, dude, why are you worried about us, man?
As a Mariah Carey, why are you so obsessed with me?
You got the greatest point guard you ever played with over there. Speaking of which,
who's the backup point guard? Is it John Lucas? Is he still there?
What is that, Michael Carter Williams?
Oh, John, God, so
did you say John Lucas?
How removed are the Bulls from John Lucas the third?
Probably like four seasons.
Because LeBron jumped over him. That was a long time.
I think
time
they ago. Cut him the day after LeBron jumped over his head.
No, I mean, I don't think we did a podcast anywhere near that time. LeBron jumped over a dude in a game and nobody noticed. Like, Mike Breen didn't even notice until the replay.
Because it was John Lucas. Like, nobody even knew. Most of the time, nobody noticed John Lucas was on the court.
Yes anyway. Or no? You wouldn't know who John Lucas, like, who he would have been if it wasn't for that.
No, honestly, right now, John Lucas could walk up and slap me in the face. I'd have no idea it was John Lucas. John Lucas III. Like, the original John Lucas, yeah.
Oh, dude, like, and I love when, you know, Miami starts playing, like, teams that we're not watching, like Minnesota or something. Because, like, the other day we learned Paul Pierce was still in the league, you and I.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what?
His triumphant return to Boston. And I'm like, what? As a what? An assistant coach? Like, I had no clue.
Alf.
Like, and I'm still surprised every time Vince Carter's on my TV.
Alf, do you know what team John Lucas III is in?
It's
Minnesota.
He's on a team right now?
We didn't even notice. They played him yesterday. Some Minnesota, yeah.
He's in Lebanon.
He was waived on January 7th, so he's not on the team.
Oh, so he's not.
It's been actually 1 month. He played five games.
He's played five games, yeah. I was going to look at
that. Yeah, there's no way that dude is in the league, like, on a consistent basis.
He made the opening roster.
Is there a dude that you look at, like, yeah, how's that dude in the league?
James Jones. I mean, is it
fun fact on on James Jones? You guys were wondering how he's smuggling a lot of money. He's currently serving as a secretary treasurer of the NBAPA Players Association.
He's supposed to be like really smart.
Yeah, he used to handle finances too.
I ran a restaurant in Pembroke Pines, and he used to come in there all the time. And he dressed like the biggest nerd I've ever seen in my life.
His nickname is like, Champ.
His nickname is what?
Champ.
Champ?
That's what Wikipedia says.
Why?
Because he's a two-time NBA champion.
Is he the most decorated University of Miami basketball player that's played in the pros? Because I can't think of other than him and John Salmons.
Is it Rick Barry?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Rick Barry. Totally,
yeah. Yeah, that's pretty
big. Is he the one that's always high?
No, he's the one that's always mad.
Oh, who's the one that's always high and on ESPN just saying weird stuff? Is that the old one?
That's half of ESPN.
Oh, man. I think that's Rick Barry. Rick Barry's the one that's always high, and he's always on drugs, and he goes
to,
like...
Rick Barry on ESPN? I thought it was John Barry that's on ESPN.
You talking about...
No.
Are you talking about Bill Walton?
Oh, my God, yes. Wow, I got that.
Dude, did you confuse Bill Walton and Rick Barry?
Wrong old white guy. Excuse me.
No, like, that's really wrong. That's not, like, a little
I'm looking at a picture of Rick Barry, yeah. Oh, my God.
Wow, dude, that's bad.
Oh, whoops.
Rick Barry used to shoot free throws underhanded.
Yeah, well, Walden looks happy. He's glowing,
Rick,
dude.
Rick Barry's an ornery old man. He's very cranky.
You know, Alf, you called it before we started the show that because it's just you and I, and we don't have like hardcore Heat with us, that we're going to derail. We haven't even discussed the Heat once.
Yeah, no, we
discussed uniform. We discussed uniform and Ellington and James.
We gave a great NBA Finals preview.
that too. No, I told you that. We're going to derail quite often because hopefully Nikias calls in and gives us some stupid numbers that we can all ruminate on. No, and I'm going to expose the Heat beat staff. The Heat beat staff and many members of Heat Twitter. We were in a chat. And so many of the guys that are on the staff and in prominent members of Heat Twitter admitted that they have not watched that many games this year.
Oh my God! Yes, I couldn't believe that. That was shameful.
That was so shameful. And then the worst part of it is so many of those guys are like these numbers guys, like these heavy stats guys. So I'm like, okay, so all you guys do is look at box scores. So I'm done. I don't care about anybody's stats anymore. You know what? I watch the games. At least I can say that.
You haven't missed a lot of games this year. You've watched both of them.
Even the games I missed, like on the initial watch, I will go back and watch them again.
You nerd.
I watched the initial watch of the replay of the Timberwolves game.
I won't record a game. No? I'm above that. No, I won't do that.
You wouldn't even watch it on like good afternoon when you replay it?
Condense. Like if I miss the game,
wait, what do you mean above that?
I'm not gonna do that. No, I'm not recording a sporting event. If the sporting event passed, I miss because it's dumb. Because I already know what happened, and it just I'll watch it.
See, that's the problem. You don't know what happened if you didn't actually watch the game.
Okay, but
know the result.
It sucks the fun. No, yes, it sucks the fun. I'll watch it for an hour.
Result, and you know, exactly. You know the result. And you know the numbers. You don't actually know HP. Like we can go into this HP basketball, whatever his name, Matt Moore from CBS, how he got into it with Heat Twitter, basically going in on Goron saying he wasn't an impactful player because of his on court, off court, plus minus. Like that is so bereft of any actual visual analysis of what's actually going on in Heat games.
Mad did that make you?
Oh, now, listen, he blocked me, so I don't care what he has to say. But I saw so many people arguing, going back and forth with him. Like, if you can sit there and say that Goron has not been impactful on the Heat and hasn't impacted the Heat's record, hasn't impacted the winning streak, hasn't impacted results, just by looking at box scores, looking at on-court, off-court, plus-minus, like the numbers are meaningless if you're not actually watching the games. Like you can't actually watch the games and say Goron hasn't impacted the results. Like it's completely asinine. Now I'm sure the numbers might pan out and they might say something else. And yes, you know, one game here or one game there, the second unit played admirably and like didn't blow a lead. Like, but you can't tell me that Goron isn't a big reason why this team isn't in the position they are in now.
And those numbers are kind of flawed because this team was a team that had lost 20 games and won 11.
That's the thing. And
that's going to weigh down any number that, like, Goran can be playing well and they could be getting outscored because around him was garbage and hurt garbage at that.
Don't give me numbers for the season, right? Because we can say right now, almost conclusively, like, the team that was for the first 41 games of the season is not the same team that's been out there the last 11. Now, we can also say this team that's been out there the last 11.
That's not real.
Yeah, it's also not indicative of what the team is. The truth lies somewhere in the middle, right? But the win streak is not a big enough sample size where you could say, okay, this is indicative. Where you can't take the whole season, put it in a blender, come out with something and say, this is what the team is, or this is what player X is or player Y is. Because like even looking at Deion, he was hurt for a lot of the first half of the year. So even when he did play, he was limited. So that's what bothered me about that whole HP basketball, Matt Moore going back and forth with Heat Twitter. It just reeked of someone who does not actually watch the Heat play games.
But we come across that a lot, and I know that Sedano gets hit with that a lot too, as a guy who's not watching the games and constantly trashes the team.
Well, that's because Sedano has strong opinions and people get mad. But I would say if there's one team that Sedano probably watches more than most out of the national guys, of all the national guys, who probably watches more Heat games than most, it would be Sedano.
Is he still writing? What is he doing?
Izzy, I think he's doing. I mean, he has Izzy in Spain every night.
Is he a national? Does he count? Does he still cover the games?
He's doing sideline reporting. He still lives down here anymore. He still lives down here. So, but I mean, he's probably traveling a lot. I wouldn't even consider him a national expert on the Heat. But I mean, it's like, and I get it, right? If you asked us to break down Minnesota Timberwolves basketball, what would we do? What would be?
We didn't even know Paul Pierce was still in the Clippers.
Exactly.
He's a rotation player.
But what would be the first thing you do? You'd go to the stats, you'd go to the numbers, and you'd make judgments on players off of these numbers, off of these stats, without actually watching any of what's happening on the floor.
I think they're and a good it's place a, to
it's,
start.
It's a flaw. No, it's a flawed way of analyzing. Especially basketball. I mean, any sport really. But it's a flawed way of analyzing basketball because there's so many other contributing factors. So, yes, you can use the numbers to back up maybe something that you've seen or, you know, to justify, you know, maybe, okay, I think I'm seeing this. Let me look and see if the numbers kind of match up to what I'm seeing. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my eyes are lying to me. But to start with the numbers and end with the numbers, it's just a flawed way of watching the game.
And it's why I like Zach Lowe, because that's what he does. He'll look at the numbers and he'll say, what should I be looking out for when I watch these games? And that's what he does. And he combines film and numbers. Nikias, are you there?
Yes, sir.
You in witness protection? How are you, sir? Welcome to the program.
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Fun master, Nikias Duncan.
Nikias, I've been trashing stat nerds the entire time.
How was the store?
It was quiet. So,
what'd you buy?
Some donuts, orange juice, bread, and some saltine crackers.
So you started the podcast late to buy donuts and bread.
I mean, it wasn't my design.
See, Nikias, he does not understand, as a child of black people, that when someone turns to you and says, hey, can you go to the store and get me donuts, bread, and orange juice? It's not like a question or like a simple request. It is a demand. Boy, get your ass up and get down to the store and get them damn donuts.
I mean, I was born of Hispanic parents, so it's, you know, I have some of that too.
Glazed or powdered?
Glazed.
Oh my god, definitely glazed, man.
Yeah, does Nikias look like a powdered guy to you? I mean, come on, Brian.
Brian with the hard hitting questions.
That's some intense journalism right there.
Yeah, Brian, I'm kind of sad that Winslow's. That Winslow's not playing because now you can't put your theory to the test about his hair and his jumper.
Wait till next season or in the playoffs when he comes back.
He comes back. Well, you know, he'll probably be healthy by the time they reach the finals, right, Nikias?
Yeah, I say so. Yeah.
So before you came on, Alpha and I were talking about, I don't think the Spurs have any way to stop a Wayne Ellington, James Johnson pick and roll.
I was about to answer seriously, then I thought about it.
What? No, come on.
You know us, man.
Yeah, oh, I mean, what's Kawhi Leonard going to do? I mean, Wayne Ellington's either going to shoot or James Johnson on the roll, he can pass. He's okay, Draymond
shut up,
Green light.
Shut up. This is dumb. True. Nikias.
Can we?
I want Nikias' opinion of the whole Matt Moore CBS feud with Heat Twitter. Was it not obvious by Matt Moore's statements that he does not watch any Heat basketball games?
I wouldn't say that.
This boy out. I'm gonna throw his boy under the bus.
Because he's nice. Nikias is too nice. That's the problem.
That's not a problem. I'm saying. I mean, I know he watches games. He's like one of three or four writers that I can pretty much bank on that actually watches and comes up with an opinion. But I did disagree with the Goran thing. I just didn't really understand where he got that from.
Alf and I were saying before that I think his numbers early in the season when they were playing badly, that everyone had bad on-off numbers. Like, they were just getting outscored all the time.
Except for Hassan. Hassan was beasting. He played poorly, Hassan's numbers were all-star worthy.
Luter Narai. Have they gone down, Nikias? Has Hassan's on-off? Do you know that? I'm putting you on the spot.
I think they've been better during the run. I know they're better with him on than with him off.
Do you like the way he's playing?
He screened better, so I kind of lean yes just off of that.
I feel like we're just interviewing Nikias.
Last five games, I think. Five or six games, I think he's played. I don't think the numbers have always matched. I mean, he had the 30-20 game. But I think despite what the numbers have said, I think he's played a good game. Especially like the last four or five games. And he's kind of spoken to it where he's saying, okay, maybe the numbers aren't there, but he feels like he's playing really, really well. And sometimes I swear, like, Coach Spo has his hand up his brunt and it's basically like he's just a puppet because it sounds like Spo talking. But he has...
So do you want numbers on this or?
Yeah, go ahead with your dumb numbers.
Oh, I don't want to tell you.
When it comes to samples, size matters. Except for this next segment. Let's have some fun with some small, teeny weeny sample sizes. This is Small Sample Size Theater. Featuring Nate Kites, Duncan or Christian Hernandez, whoever is available.
Wow. But anyway, so to Al's point, over the last five games, Hassan Whiteside is averaging 17 points, 14 boards, and he has the second highest net rating on the team behind Deion Waiters.
Woo!
Interesting.
Deion. Higher than Goran, I'm surprised.
Yeah, Goran's fifth behind my guy, Rodney Magruder.
So done with him yesterday. No, TJ I was done with yesterday. Like, jokes aside.
TJ had a bad game.
No, but like, jokes aside, it was really bad.
Oh, he had a really bad game.
I know he's come back from injury, but he's had kind of a tough stretch. The shot's just not going in.
That's kind of been the thing with him this year. You kind of, once he goes on a cold streak, it's extended.
Ugh.
But once he breaks out, he's white hot, so.
Like, yeah,
white hot, was that a pun, or that was just.
I mean, you know me, man.
Oh, okay.
It's coded, man. It's layered.
Yeah. There it is.
I like that. I like that.
The production value of this show is through the roof now.
Well, you have 560 or 790 or both or whatever you are now.
Hey, guys, I have a really hard-hitting question again. I'm not sure if you're up for it, but since you went to the grocery store and you got some orange juice, did you get it with pulp or without?
Without.
Yeah, of course. Okay. And
that's
the
wrong move.
With pulp.
That's the wrong move.
I like some pulp. Some pulp.
Pulp is good.
Yes.
Put it to pulp, Brian.
Okay.
Go. I'll get on it. Get on it, Guillermo.
And Brian brought the show to a screeching halt.
Yeah, why'd you have to ask about orange juice? What were we talking about before?
See, now I want to play 2K.
I want to play Fire Emblem.
Good question that I think they discussed it a little bit on Lebatard. Somebody actually brought this up to me last night, and I said it makes the win streak a little bit less valuable, I guess. The fact that they're doing this without Jay Rich and Justice Winslow, like, what does that do to the win streak for you? Like, does it kind of devalue it? Or
devalue it?
Because wouldn't it mean a lot more if Justice and Jay Rich were involved in this? Like, it would be a really great sign for the future.
It depends how they're playing during it. You know what I mean?
But that would be important. Right now, we don't.
What if Jay Rich was playing like TJ is now? Like, that wouldn't be anything to be excited for.
I understand, but then at least you'd know what you had in Jay Rich.
But then what if you could have a good stretch when you're playing bad? Because like he said.
What I'm saying is, what are you learning about the team right now? Like, are you learning that you're going to pay James Johnson, Wayne Ellington, and Deion Waiters? Because I don't know if that's a lesson we want to learn this year. I mean, am I right or am I wrong? Like, that seems almost like counterintuitive to what we all came into this season hoping was going to happen, that we were going to see a youth movement. What we've seen is a journeyman movement, and that's not really what this season was about.
They have five guys shooting over 40% from three, including Wayne Ellington, Rodney Magruder, Okoro White, I imagine that that's not real. And it's not just like 41%. I think Wayne Ellington's like at 47% or something ridiculous during the streak. That stuff's not real. So we know that that's not, like, if they were to do that, they'd be, they're like hitting the, during the streak, they're hitting like what, top three in the league in threes. It's crazy. So like to base anything off the streak is, I find, not productive and kind of not based in reality. And if there's anything, Nikias, and I think you'll agree with me, I think if we've learned anything, it's, okay, Goran's pretty good, but I think we already knew that. And James Johnson is somebody that you should try to keep because he can help.
Are you leaning in for me?
Yeah, I'm just tossing it to you. Lob, it's an assist.
There we go. Well, yeah, I don't think you could really take anything from the actual results unless you, I guess it really depends on how you feel about Deion. Because,
yeah, that's the crux. Well, no, that's the crux of the argument, I think. Well, how do you feel about Deion? And I'll ask you, Nakai, it's like, how do you feel about Deion?
Third option scorer on a good team, right?
I think
best case scenario.
Maybe. I think he'd be a fifth or fourth starter on a very good team. But I don't know. I think I'm trying not to get too excited about Deion because we've kind of seen stretches like this from him before.
And I think Nikias, I don't know about like this.
Well, no, but it's Nikias, am I wrong? It's already starting to taper off a little bit.
He's been one.
Oh, yeah. Last couple of games, he's been off, and then he hurt his ankle yesterday. So I don't know how much you want to put into how much stock he put into his bad night.
He was merely a decoy at the end of that game because of that ankle injury. But that's what I'm saying is Johnny, you're echoing my point where you're saying, yeah, you can't take anything out of this. So what's the value of this streak?
That's fun.
If it's no, I understand that. And I listen, I'm having more fun than anyone. I've been saying screw tank season from the beginning of the year. And I also, if you go back on my timeline, pat myself on the back, I did predict, because like Leif pointed out that this stretch was
going to be huge for tank season. You called it.
And I was like, there's absolutely no way the Heat don't win at least 10 of the next 15 games.
You said, I hope they go on a historic streak to screw tank season over.
Yeah,
and I remember the tweet.
I said they're going to win at least 10 of the next 15 games. We're at game 11, so I guess I was I sold low on the Heat.
Want to pat yourself on the back?
Yeah, but I almost damn broke my shoulder patting myself on the back right there. But
so you're TJ.
Yeah. But what I mean, see, for me, what you take out of this win streak is this. We said it all year. We've been saying it since what, the beginning of the year? When I was on with Ethan, I said it. What you've seen out of this team is that their process is excellent. From the beginning of the season, they've gotten nothing but corner threes, layups. I mean, they've been getting high percentage, really good shots. They just don't have the players that can make them. But at some point, when you have a little bit of health on your side, you're going to start winning some of these games because even the worst NBA player can make layups and corner threes. So if your process is such where you are getting really good shots, you have to start winning some of these. Now, when you have seven players available, which the Heat have had for whatever the stretch was, like they every night it was seven, eight, or nine guys available. No matter what kind of shots you're getting, eventually, you know, the team just runs out of gas. But now with
limit, Eric.
Yeah, exactly. Water reaches its level every time. So now, even though you have Babbitt and Magruder starting, because Spo can go 11 deep on his bench, those guys get limited minutes. There's more James Johnson. There's more Deion Waiters has been playing well. With these shots that these guys are getting, like, yeah, they had to start winning some of these games. Now, Houston and Golden State, I don't think anybody called that.
Alf, the win streak is simple. They're shooting ridiculous from three. They're making a ton, and they're shooting a ton. And that's, I think that's the only thing that's important here. Because, okay, Deion's helped. Certainly, those games against Golden State and Houston don't happen without Deion being great. But for the most part, this streak has been, they're shooting absurd from three. They're so hot. They have, like, Ellington's at 47%. Goran's almost at 50. Goran's at, what, 46, 48%, something like that. Okoro White's over 40%. Rodney Magruder's over 40%. Luke freaking Babbitt and Deion Waiters, as mentioned before. So, like, this streak comes down to the shooting has been great. Every night you hear Eric Reed. Oh, he made 10 threes, 11 threes. Every game, dude. It's 10, 11, 13 threes every night.
They're averaging 111 points on, like, the third quarter.
Like every first quarter, they're scoring, like, 30-something points.
Yeah, last game they had 70 by 111
points a game. Something crazy.
I don't know what the offensive efficiency was. Last time I checked, it was nearing 110, which is crazy for this team during the streak.
Like 110.9 for the offensive rating during
that's
the streak.
That's insane. This team couldn't score in the beginning of the year.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, what I take from this is that the Heat have an excellent process. And
that's Spoelstra.
That is Spo, and that's what I was getting at. Really, the star of this streak is Eric Spoelstra. It's not Deion Waiters.
Deion's getting the credit, and so is Goran, but it should be Spo.
It really should be Spo. It should be Spo number one, Goran number two. And then
Goran kind of disappeared after the first half last night till the end.
Yeah, but that's going to happen. I mean,
you know who used to do that a lot? Dwayne would have like 30 points at the half and then not score until like 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I remember that happening so many times, huh?
I said that's what we call the Joe Johnson.
Oh, the Joe.
Man, he killed 25 at the half, end the game with 29 points. I'm just like, what is this?
Dude, right. That is the Joe Johnson special. You are absolutely correct.
Winning time. That's winning time.
D-Wade was winning time last night. Hit jumper down the stretch, had a dunk.
Oh, man, he shut Sacramento down. It was fun to watch.
Longing for Miami. But no, I mean, getting back to the streak, Alf, and what we were talking about Winslow and Richardson, it sucks because they're not a part of this, and you kind of, and I guess they had it last year. Like, and I think we agree on this, and Leif has talked about it before. You don't want to create a culture of losing with young players that you're trying to groom. So, like, when guys perpetually lose, like, that kind of sucks. So it was nice last year that Winslow and Jay Rich got to be part of a winning team that won a playoff series. It would have been nice for them to have this experience. But I don't think it's a big deal that they miss it because they're hurt. But and especially Winslow, like, I think we know that he's a really good defender. And you just want him to work on the offense. And I think most of that work comes in the offseason anyway. You want him to get reps, obviously, but I think the bulk of that work comes in the offseason.
See, my thing is...
defense is ready, then.
My thing is, is this a pitch that you could sell to free agents? Because us sitting on here on Skype talking about the Heat doesn't do anything about the draft status. Like, we can't predict what the draft status is going to be. So we can talk about free agents, right? Is this a pitch to free agents? Like, look what Eric Spoelstra has done with this cast of cast-offs and journeymen, right? And next year, we'll be bringing back Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, two very promising young talents. Who knows if Goran or Hassan will be there, but is that a pitch to free agents? Like, look what Eric Spoelstra can do with subpar talent. Like, if you bring in a Blake Griffin, what can he do for you, Blake? If he can do this with James Johnson, what can he do for you, Blake Griffin?
The thing with free agents like Blake Griffin is that I think they're used to win now. Those guys are on good teams that are in win now. And guys like DeMarcus Cousins is going to want to go to a win now team. I think, Nikias, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, they're going to have to – because their situation is not like – they're not ready yet. They're going to have to go after a guy that's kind of not reached his full potential, but that has some of that, and that's going to come here because he wants to maximize himself because the really, really good teams aren't looking to build around him. You know what I mean? They're going to have to take a chance on a guy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think the pitch that Alf was talking about works for a second-tier free agent a third-tier free agent. I don't think that works for Blake Griffin, who, you know, he's been on the cusp of the Western Conference Finals. That's not going to work for Gordon Hayward, who's finally going to reach the playoffs because Utah's finally healthy, and they have one heck of a coach in Quinn Snyder himself. So I think if you
I can't get behind Quinn Snyder.
Wait,
looks like a Batman villain.
Well, he does look like a Batman villain, but he can coach.
Yeah, him. But he's not even like the main Batman villain. He looks like the Batman villain that hires Bane. Like he looks like he contracted the Joker. Like he doesn't even, and then he gets double crossed and ends up getting killed by the main villain. Like I can't get behind Quinn Snyder. I'm sorry.
I'm almost mad at how accurate that is.
You were making a good point, but I feel like my point was even more solid.
They're gonna make runs at guys like Tyreek Evans, like Pope, like guys who haven't reached their full potential. Dwayne Wade. Danilo Gallinari. Gallo's a guy that I'd like them to go after, and I know that he gets hurt a lot, but I think Spo's going to be able to do a lot with him. He likes that kind of guy.
I would love Gallo on a 2 or 3 year deal.
You know, no, that's perfect. Two with a player option.
You know the scenario I could see them going after Blake? Is if somehow Chris Paul convinces Clippers management to trade for Melo. Melo comes in there, completely torpedoes their season because we know Melo is capable of such. Melo has a contract that is untradeable unless you have an idiot like Chris Paul on your team telling you to trade for him. And then Blake is just fed up and like, I'm not playing with Melo, and he bolts.
How do you think the phone conversation goes? Because like Melo and LeBron are boys, and LeBron is saying he doesn't want to trade Love. And like I really believe that he doesn't want Melo there. Melo's calling, yo, dog, get me out of here. I'm working on it.
I got you.
Hangs up the phone and he does like the Jonah Hill like thing, you know, shaking his head no. Kevin Love.
That's nobody thinks adding Melo to your roster makes you a championship. Like nobody's like, yo, you know what?
I think that helps them. I think the Clippers have to do something like that. What else can they do?
No, well, I'm talking about the Cavs. Like nobody's like, yo, you know how you neutralize Kevin Durant? Bring in Melo.
Like, I think y'all clown Melo, but if Melo's your second or third scorer, damn.
But I mean, that's it. That's kind of the issue.
Bad.
Like, neither him or Melo can really defend consistently, but at the very least, Kevin Love can rebound for you. Yeah. He can defend the block.
Carmelo can rebound. If I'm correct, his rebound percentage rates are good. He's just not down there a lot. He's on the perimeter, but when he plays an
underrated rebounder, but he does not rebound in traffic. Or
he's a strong guy, man.
He's very strong, but like he can't even bend his knees anymore. Like I think. I don't think people realize, like, dude, first of all, he wears a sweater under his jersey.
Porzingis wears a t-shirt every game. I was like, dog, you look
ridiculous. I don't know what is going on with the Knicks, like, if the AC is too high, but, like, the fact that, like, Melo's not even wearing, like, an Under Armour compression long-sleeve shirt. He's wearing, like, a legit, just, like, long-sleeved, like,
wearing a thermal.
He's wearing, like, a long-sleeve thermal. Like, son, like, what are you doing? Like, I know, does the Garden have AC issues? Like, what is happening? Like, he looks so old with whatever that sweater is he's wearing. Like, I know, like, a lot of guys wear a lot of padding and all this. But Melo is legit wearing a thermal. Like he looks like he came to the Garden dressed in his full uniform. Like he just has a jacket over his jersey with a thermal underneath it, and like he just takes his jacket off. Like it's time to ball, y'all, and he just gets out there and he starts playing. Like he looks absolutely ridiculous. Like, you can't win with that. I'm sorry.
Can't win with a thermal.
You can't win with a thermal. Okay, Brian, you were asking me to help you come up with names for the podcast. This one's called You Can't Win with a Thermal. Write that down.
Sit down, Brian.
You can't win with a thermal. I think it's a universal truth.
I think you're right, man.
Can't win with a thermal.
I'm looking at some free agents and...
if you went out to the court, I'm sorry, Gianni. If you went out to the court on a Saturday afternoon and saw a dude dressed like Melo,
With a headband? With a headband?
I'm talking, I don't care if he's 6 foot nine. I don't.
Not on my team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not my teammate.
Nah, dog. You got next, though. You got next,
yes,
I promise.
Yes or no, when a guy on the court has a headband, you don't want him.
No, and you can have a headband. But I don't want a guy with a headband. And then you mix that with a thermal? Nah, son, kid.
I can do a head.
Shooting sleeve? Nah. If a dude's wearing a shooting sleeve, I don't want him either.
That's where I was going. Like, shooting sleeve is a no-go.
And he got, like, Patrick Ewing knee pads on. Like, I can't deal with you, son.
The guys, have you seen the guys with the double shooting sleeves? See, I was like, dog, why you need two, man? Like, you're just being a douche.
Anybody who wears too many accessories to a pickup game is suspect in my eyes.
Have you seen the guys that wear like full uniform, like they wear like a Heat jersey and Heat shorts?
Yeah, they're weird.
Like, God, come on, dog. What are you doing? Just wear a t-shirt and shorts, man.
If you're that invested in attire and you're not playing semi-pro, then I mean, that's kind of serious.
Like, I'm mad at you if you went shopping for basketball equipment and all he do is play on Saturdays at the JCC.
That one guy that wore all that Michael Jordan outfits and he got to meet him in person.
Well, that, see, now that's that guy was had some mental issues.
So did you see how hard he played on defense, though?
No, we don't know. He was locked in. He was
man
locked
had
in.
-5 wingspan, but he was out there. Pressure.
played harder than Dwayne Wade.
Have you guys watched the video on this guy?
No, I haven't. I don't know what
you're talking. He's like special needs. Like,
is it? I didn't know.
Why are you laughing at that? Wait, what?
Why? He's special needs. I'm telling you. I'm not joking.
What are we talking?
Dude, like the guy who dresses in the full Chicago Bulls Jordan uniform, he's special needs. It's like a really inspiring story.
Well, so what like, video are you talking about? Because I was talking about the actual game footage. Is there another video?
He balls up?
Yeah, dude, he wears a full Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls uniform with the warm-up and everything. And, like, he's obsessed with Jordan. But he's, like, a special needs. Like, he's, like, 40. But, like, he lives with his mom still. And he's, like, he's a special little guy.
Fuck on, man.
And, like, Jordan called him and sent him a whole bunch of, like, gear. And, like, I was tearing up watching the video. I was, like, I did a full Gianni watching the video. I cried a little bit. Like, and now you guys are making fun of him. You guys are terrible human beings.
I'm not going to do that.
Nikias is so quiet. Nikias is like, holy crap.
My uncle's special needs, and he's actually a pretty good tennis player, but my uncle's really short, and he's self-conscious about it. So he'll wear like elevator boots, and he'll play tennis in elevator boots and in a button-down shirt and jeans, and he'll beat people. I'm dying. It's so funny. And he's like out there kicking ass in elevator boots, jeans, and a button-down.
I'm not laughing.
Dog, it's so funny. And he stutters, and he's just kicking ass. It's awesome. I love it.
Oh, it's funny. I'm literally picturing you in that outfit. Oh, God.
What has happened to this pod?
We just make fun of people in really inappropriate attire.
Nikias made a joke about Alan Thicke's death. Okay, we've done everything already.
No, and then he no. Nikias derailed him by talking about the poor guy who wears a Jordan outfit.
That he played really hard on defense. That was
all the listeners. I really encourage you to look up the video. He is. I think his name is Jeffrey or something like that. He's very inspiring.
Can somebody send it to Dwayne Wade and say, "Can you play D like this? Can you try a little harder?" Can Michael Carter Williams tweet him that?
Yo, no, Rajon Rondo has to make an Instagram post.
Levitard was saying, "Is Deion Waiters right now like the he didn't say it exactly this way. He kind of said it was like the low budget version of what we wanted Dwayne
discount D Wade.
No, but like he's a low budget version of what we wanted Dwayne to do next to Goron last year, right?
Oh yeah."
Like, no, but
I think they have different like skills. Like Dwayne's like Deion's looking to score every time in the pick and roll. Dwayne's not. And I think that's a big difference in how they're used.
I think Deion has an eye to create. Like
if Deion has the pass, like Deion uses a pass sometimes as an escape valve, and another time if it's so obvious, like Hassan's really open. But like Dwayne's looking at the corners. Dwayne's
no. Like, see, I don't agree. I honestly, I don't. I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. Like not in the last month or so, and I, maybe Nakias, you've seen something different. I have seen a change to his game where off the pick and roll or off whatever, off any kind of penetration, if he doesn't have a good look at the rim, which what he was doing before, it seemed like no matter if he – just because he was near the basket, he decided it was layup time and won. And he was just – I mean, he was doing all kinds of crazy nonsense trying to get – so I feel like now he's smarter about it. If he does not have a good angle, he uses the penetration to kick out. I feel like I've seen that a lot more the last month. I mean, Nakias, if you've seen something different, you can say it. But I feel like I'm Giotti, I know what you're saying. That was his MO maybe at the beginning of the year. But I feel like he's played a lot smarter lately.
I think he has as well. But I just – and he's so, his decision-making is so much more sound. But I know that – and I'm trying to find some numbers to maybe help us put this into context. But Dwayne, as a pick-and-roll player – It felt to me that he was more aware of all his options because he has better vision than Deion and he's a better passer. So, yeah. You know, and Dwayne would take dumb shots too, but Dwayne always, you know, when Dwayne's in the pick and roll, you always felt a sort of security that even if something's going to go wrong, that the disaster's not going to happen. Even though he did turn the ball over a lot, you just kind of felt like he was in control and that he would always have an out if he got stuck. I don't feel the same way with Deion. And again, that might be my eyes lying. I'm trying to isolate some of his numbers.
I think at the beginning of the year, you were correct.
I have Deion synergy stuff up if you want it.
Oh, I was going to try to isolate the streak and some assist percentage compared to what Dwayne did last year. But yeah, synergy is better.
Well, the hell is Deion?
Maybe in the meantime, you guys look that up. You guys want to do the mailbag?
Yeah, just do it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Welcome to a new segment we like to call the Heatbeat Mailbag. You've sent us your questions and hot takes using the hashtag MHBMailbag. Now it's our turn to give you our answers and tell you how wrong your opinions are.
All right, Al, do you have any questions open or do you want me to get them? Because I got some.
I mean, yeah, go ahead. Okay. I didn't.
I'm sure. All right, so first question comes from Veronica Quispe. She's asking, what's a higher number?
Who's Veronica Quispe? So for the audience, so that they can know.
Oh, yeah, she's part of Heapy, but most people don't know because she's never on the podcast.
She hides. She writes like one story a year.
Yeah, she lives in the Miami Herald newsroom.
Yeah, she's verified and we're not for some reason.
So she asks, what's a higher number? The amount of times Gianni has cried ever or how many pics he has with girls that aren't his girlfriend?
By the way, follow me at GNavis103 on Instagram. I have fun and I post pictures about it. I'm going to say cry just because I cry a lot. I cry a lot during anime, during sporting events, during movies, just general emotions. I emote, man. Yeah.
I like the way you went into that question, went into that answer like so seriously. Like, you really thought about it. Like,
no, yeah, I broke it because I thought about it. Man,
I'm not even about to let you flex on the podcast, man. It's the latter.
You wear women's deodorant, man.
It's definitely the latter. Your IG is lit, man.
It's lit. It's girls that aren't my girlfriend that aren't going to sleep with me. You know what's funny is that when you guys like, so for the audience to let you behind the curtain, you know, I have a lot of friends that are girls, and when we go out, we take pictures. And I put them on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and you know, the guys are always asking me in our group chat, like, hey, are you dating this girl? And it's always no. And like they think it's weird.
And then Nakias comes in with the eye emoji.
Yeah, every time, dude.
We don't think it's weird. It is weird.
I don't know. They're my friends, man. They've been like they're all my lifelong friends.
I mean, I'm pro platonic relationships. So I get you. But I mean, after like 25, it's just kind
of
honestly,
I will give you this. One of those women I was like I fell really hard for, but she's a lesbian.
God, that's so. You guys, honestly, there's a week long series on Dr. Phil about you.
That was the first woman I fell in love with. How about that?
Yeah, it says there's something there, man.
Like, we need to get you on a couch in front of a guy with degrees, and he needs to psychoanalyze what the hell is going on with you.
What's wrong with us?
I don't know, dude. Listen, if I knew what's wrong with you, man, I wouldn't be on the Heat Beat podcast, dude. I'd have a practice in Beverly Hills. Like, I don't know what's going on with you, man. The only woman I ever fell in love with was a lesbian. Like, honestly, it should be.
I said the first one.
It sounds like the title of a Dr. Phil episode. I fall in love with a really great anime.
No, they don't do a lot of lesbian animes.
To my dismay. Oh, what? They don't do a lot of lesbian animes.
Yeah. Right, moving on.
I saw Ayo Hana, which was really good, yeah.
Next question.
Brass Jazz asked, if the Heat could amnesty Tyler Johnson on the condition that John Carlos Navas can't watch anime for 3 straight years, deal or no deal?
Do we want to deal with him crying more?
Yeah. That's...
No anime for 3 years, but I don't have to deal with TJ. Let me get back to that, because I have to... Oof, man. Yeah, I'll answer that at the end of the show. I'm going to need to sit on that, because that's really hard. All
right. Question Close. From...
Wait. You need to sit on that?
Yeah, I do.
Right, next question.
Wait. Oh, no. Oh... Can someone isolate that just sentence, please?
Brian.
I need to sit on that because it's really hard. Oh, man. Oh, I need to grow up. Go ahead. Next question.
All right. FS Better ask, will Chris Bosh get a 2016-2017 Miami Heat championship ring when the Cavs visit Miami on Christmas Day next
That's
season?
That's a great question.
You didn't let him finish it, so...
When the Cavs visit Miami on Christmas Day next season.
Yeah.
I think so.
That's implying he's trading Chris Bosh, right?
Yeah, no, right. Listen, they're not going to not give him a ring.
Mickey Arison's a class act.
Yeah, and then when even if he goes to Cleveland, which he probably will, and then they come on Christmas, I think so, yeah. But they should make Deion Waiters give it to him, though.
Wait, why would the Mavs be here on Christmas Day?
Cavs.
I thought the tweet said Mavs.
No, it's Cavs.
It was Cavs?
Cavaliers.
That makes Mavs. That makes so much more sense.
Yeah. Oh, come on, man.
Listen, I'm done with my drink.
These our questions or Anthony Chang's questions?
No, we actually got some.
Oh. Can we use Anthony's? Can we go to some Anthony's?
Screw Chang.
I don't think he has any questions.
His readers are kind of lame, let me tell you. Our listeners are better.
I would say
it might
so.
Be the same people who listen to this podcast. So. Be careful what you say.
I don't want to alienate the listeners.
Next question, Brian. All
right. From @CrabSmutPeddler, he asked, which fetishized prepubescent anime girl does @GNamasThink best represents Deion Waiters?
I'm so glad you asked.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna go Harugi Suzumiya from The Melancholy of Harugi Suzumiya, because she is a crazy, like, controlling bitch.
Well, no, honestly,
she's also the twist of the show is that she's also God.
Well, you know what's cool about that question and that answer? It also explains the answer of the question of why Johnny never has relationships with these girls he has pictures with, because he's a weirdo who likes weird anime movies.
It also
that answered two questions right
there. I think it also answered Tyler Johnson and 3 years of no anime. I think he'll keep Tyler Johnson.
That was a creepy ass answer, by the way.
Why?
You're more passionate about anime than Tyler Johnson. Admit it.
No way.
Yes, you are.
All right, do we have synergy numbers yet?
I got them pulled up. Deion on the year in pick and roll, he's in the 25th percentile as a scorer, but if in the 52nd percentile as a passer, which is good.
So what does that mean?
That meant nothing to me.
What does that mean?
Basically, Deion's in the top 52% of the NBA when he's passing off a pick and roll, and he's in the bottom quarter of the league when he's trying to score on pick and roll.
Nikias, can I ask you a question? Are you doing this podcast while you're rolling down the stairs?
Yeah, what's going on? Are you outside?
Like, what are you doing? Like, are you just, like, rolling down the stairs as you talk? Like, what's happening?
Rolling down the stairs sounds fun right about now, but no.
What am I doing?
Is that sound better than doing?
Are you podcast? Are you in the back of a van? Are you being kidnapped?
Blink twice.
I'm not getting kidnapped.
That's a double negative. What?
Why is there so much jostling? What's happening?
Do you have a mic stand?
Yeah, this mic stand is not very good.
So take it off.
Sorry, are you having sex?
Is that why the camera's off?
No. This pod is going way left now.
I think Gianni wants to watch.
What is this?
Can I?
This is a different podcast.
This is terrible.
Keep it after dark.
It's after 10. This is when things start getting weird.
Bring the whole new meaning to Heat Beat. Oh, man.
Hey, Miami Heat Beat. It's Catalina from the Big O Show on WQAM. Just wanted to say congrats on 100 episodes to a group of guys that keep it 100. You guys have really been on the ball through a foul heat season. You keep us going with Alf's old man perspective, Harry's terrible fashion sense, and Gianni's burning hatred for Tyler Johnson. We know the Heat will bounce back, so keep the flaccid takes coming.